Praise God. You may be seated in the house. It really is my honor to, and it really is a privilege to be here tonight. This is one of the great churches in this nation. And I'm not just saying that, it's a fact. You're one of the largest and most influential churches. You know, it's amazing what you sing here impacts church culture all over the world. The ministry out of here is phenomenal. And Pastor Mark and Pastor Lee Ramsey, and I'm not using the word loosely, they are legends of the faith in this nation, heroes of the faith. And you are blessed to be a part of their ministry here. And it really is an honor. And I had a great time spending time with Pastor Mark over lunch today and in the services this morning. And it is such an honor to be back here tonight. We've had a great day. We've had a great camp. Pastor Joel, Pastor Savannah, you are amazing. And it's such an honor to be at the camp this week. Can I tell you, the future of this church is bright. Maybe some of you more conservative Christians, I'm just going to make you nervous. You've got some wacky Pentecostal crazy people coming through the ranks that are crazy enough. One girl went into a service station and they prayed for somebody on the way home from camp. A guy was knocked out under the power of God, like in McDonald's. Isn't that awesome? And they said, "Do you want fries with that?" He said, "Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate that." That was a joke. That part, the fries part, didn't happen. It should have. But God is good. You guys may be seated. The longer you play, the more spiritual it's going to sound, and we can't have that. Are you ready for the word tonight? If you have a Bible, turn with me, please, to the book of Acts. The book of Acts and the 19th chapter. Acts chapter 19. If you can't find it, it's immediately after Acts chapter 18. And I'm reading from the New King James, which is the translation the Apostle Paul used. So this is going to be highly biblical. Are you ready for the word? Something good is going to happen in Jesus' name. Acts 19, and let's have a look at verse 1. And it says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' They said to them, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' He said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.' Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them," I pray that when I lay hands on people, stuff begins to happen. "When Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke with tongues and they prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all." I want to just share one thought from this message. This really is going to be just a single thought. And tonight at the end of the message, I'd love to pray and minister for two people and just see a refreshing touch and a release of the power of God in this place. But Paul comes to this city called Ephesus. The Bible says he found some disciples and he said to them, he said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They said, "We didn't know we could." And he lays hands on them and the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon their life. There's a lot of Christians that know Jesus but don't realize that there is a whole supernatural realm of living that we can walk in that's beautiful and it's supernatural and it's powerful by the grace of God. And we see in this passage, he says, "Did you receive when you believed?" You know, there's a lot of us that believe in things, but we don't necessarily receive those things. For example, if I said to you tonight, "Does anybody believe that God does miracles of healing?" You'd say, "Yeah, we believe God can." But there's a big difference in believing that God can versus God will. How many know that God is not just able, but God is also willing? He's not just a God who can. In some ways, if he's a God who can but won't, it's kind of a mean deal. But God is a God who can, and the Bible makes it very clear that he wills to heal. A man came to him sick, and he said, "God, I know you're able." He said, "I'm not just able, it's my will to heal." We've got to understand when it comes to things of God, there is a great difference in just believing that something can happen and receiving. The difference between believing and receiving is a thing called faith. It's a thing called expectation. Somebody say expectation. You see, expectation is the breeding ground for supernatural activity. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in church and there's just that sense of God's going to do something. You know, tonight you walk in here, man, this place is alive with the presence of God. There's a pulling down of the power of heaven. And so you know that in an atmosphere like this, anything is possible. And you know, sometimes with us and as Christians, often we're looking for something to happen up here that will impact us. Do you realize the difference between coming with expectation or not coming with a sense of expectation totally changes what God can do? Because he operates through the parameters of faith. And expectation is a powerful thing. It's the breeding ground for the supernatural power and presence of God. And you know, the difference between hope and faith is hope believes in something. Faith believes for something. Hope believes that it could happen. Faith just simply goes and lays a hold of God and brings it into an atmosphere. And you know, the powerful thing about God is there's some things he can only do when expectation is present. Let me just build this for a minute. There is a story in the Bible in the book of Mark, and you can read it in the Gospels, Mark 11:22. Jesus talks about having faith in God and having that God kind of faith and having the faith of God. He's saying all things are possible for those who believe. If you believe, nothing is impossible. That sense of belief that God is going to do something and we have a capacity to receive. Can I tell you, this is not actually a faith building story. It's in some ways it's the opposite, but there was something that I saw in this, and it was quite amazing. I pastor a church in Adelaide, and I prayed for a guy who was around 60 years of age, and he was dying from cancer of the lungs, and I went and prayed for him 2 hours before he went home to be with Jesus. He did get saved in that time, and God is so faithful in that, but he never received his miracle. However, I don't really think he was necessarily believing God for one. We just got him saved. And how many know you can go to heaven sick, but you're not going to go to heaven saved? So our first job is to get people born again. But that's not where I'm not preaching a healing story here. It was an observation that I remember as clear as day, that when I was in the hospital room there, and he was in that room, it was quite clear, like the Spirit of God began to show me that all he needed to live was oxygen to get into his body. So basically, everything that he needed was in that room. We were all breathing the same air that he was. But the sickness had affected his ability to receive what he needed in order to live. And you know, the truth is, what we need in the spirit realm is in a room like this. But it's our faith capacity to say, God, I want to receive something from heaven. You know, some of us, maybe it's because we've put God into a space where we've already decided what God can and can't do, and this is how he moves, this is what he does. I want to encourage you, get out of, I guess, a predetermined place of thinking and come and say, God, by faith, I want to receive something from heaven. I'm believing that in this service tonight, by the Spirit of God, is anyone alive in the house of God? Do you believe in the miraculous? I'm believing that tonight, here at City Point Church, God, the Holy Ghost is going to touch people, and I want to preach to your capacity to draw something from heaven. You know, I don't know how all these lights at the back really work, and I don't know really how it's all set up. We got that gear at our church. I just thank God for good people that know how to work it. But you know, if I was to get that light and plug it into the wall, how many know that unless I flick that switch, nothing's going to happen? You know, a lot of us, we come to church, we plug in, and we sort of go, well, not much is going on, but we've got to flick that switch called faith, you know. Because what happens when you flick that switch, it places a demand on the power that it's plugged into. And I want to encourage us, we need to actually get to a point where we place a demand on the anointing of God, where we place a demand on the power of heaven and actually go, God, I'm hungry, I'm expectant, this is what I'm believing for. I know that nothing's impossible. Your word says you are a healer. Your word says that you are a waymaker. Your word says nothing's impossible. Your word says you can heal and set free and deliver. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I think we forget the power that's in the name of Jesus. I mean, we get familiar with his name and it doesn't work. Do you know, in the book of Mark, the Bible talks about Jesus coming into Nazareth in Mark chapter 6, and his friends that he grew up with were hanging around. And so he starts preaching. And the old friends go, isn't that the carpenter's son? Where does he get these things? How does he speak with such wisdom? And they start going on like this. And the Bible says that Jesus, now it's interesting. It says that Jesus, because of their unbelief, could not do any major miracles. Somebody say could not. It doesn't say he would not. Jesus didn't take his bat and ball going, that's it, I'm not healing anyone today. I'm miserable. I'm very hurt. My ego has been shattered. I'm not healing today. I've had enough. They're full of attitude. I am withholding my healing power. No, it's not what he did at all. That's not his nature. It's simply that faith attracts the power of God. Faith draws something. It places a demand on the power of heaven. And the Bible's clear that he did some miracles, but he didn't do any major miracles. I don't want to be negative or anything like that, but I feel like in the church world today, we see a few miracles. You know, we see some people healed. And I pray for people get healed. Some people don't, but I believe that more and more are going to get healed and more are getting healed. But can I tell you this? I believe that as the Western Church, we need to stretch our faith to believe that God does heal and God does it. Like, we're rejoicing when Pastor Joel gets up and God does a creative miracle and takes an eardrum that's just defunct and totally replaces it. I mean, he's the creator. He has the spare parts. I mean, he knows how to do it. But creative miracles are something that God can do. I don't know about you, but I get excited hearing that, because when I hear that man, if she can get an eardrum healed, God can heal a bad knee. I mean, he can heal a bad heart. He can heal arthritis. He can heal, set free and deliver. Why? Because the Bible is clear that his name is Jehovah Rapha, who is God, who is our healer. And not only is he a healer, he's also a waymaker. He fixes marriages. He puts homes back together. He pours out grace and favor and mercy. Why? Because that's who he is. And all we have to do, place a demand on the power of God through that sense of expectation. You know, when it comes to an altar call, come with expectation. Come believing that God's going to touch you tonight. We're going to pray for everything that moves in this place tonight. We're going to believe God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But can I tell you, there can be somebody with an anointing, but if there isn't faith that comes in contact with it, often nothing happens. But when expectation and faith collide, boom, hashtag impartation. Something supernatural takes place by the Holy Spirit of God. Expectation is a crazy thing. I was in Boise, Idaho, preaching. Some of you go, where's Boise, Idaho? I asked the Lord the same question. He said, I don't have a clue. We went to Boise, Idaho, and I preached at this church for a friend of mine, and I didn't know that the Boise State University football players were coming to the church, and they were in the meeting, and there was this one guy who had been raised in a very traditional church, didn't believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit like we would hear at City Point, but he liked the church, he had friends there, so he wasn't too keen on the Spirit of God stuff, but he just went to hang out and enjoy the service. And I didn't see this at the time, but this guy was the number one receiver for Boise State, sponsored by Nike. I mean, this guy was a talented guy, gifted guy. And during the meeting, I didn't see it, but he started shaking under the anointing of God. And the presence of God's coming on him. So the youth pastor says, David, would you invite him? Can we bring him out to supper? And would you pray for him at supper that God would and talk to him about the things of the Spirit and pray for him if he wants that? I said, sure, I'd love to. So we get to dinner and And we're making small talk, and I think he felt awkward. I felt a bit awkward. Nothing was happening. And as we're walking to the car, I said to him, I said, hey, enjoying the church? And he said, yeah, it's good. I said, how do you feel about, you know, the baptism in the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues and all of these, you know, more strange things that we might do, you know? And he says to me, he goes, oh, I don't know, if God wants to, I'm open. And I don't know why I said it, but it came out of my mouth. I said to him, brother, being open is not the requirement. It's not going to get the job done. He says, I give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Let me say, if you ask God for something, you're definitely saying, I expect that he can do that. I'm not going to ask Pastor Joel for $5 if I don't expect that he might have $5 and be able to give it to me. Though I did ask, he said no. But you know, if you ask Jesus for the Holy Spirit, he'll give it. So I said to this guy, Christopher, I said, Chris, I said, don't just hope that it might happen. You need to ask. And he says, okay. And so we're walking, and then we get in this car park on level 2. It was like a multi-story car park. And so I felt the anointing. I don't know about you, the anointing's a strange thing, and it can fall at very inconvenient times. You can be minding your own business, and the Spirit of God comes on you, and you've got some work to do for him. And so I said to him, Chris? He says, yeah. I said, can I pray for you for the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the accompanying blessing of speaking in tongues? I don't know about you. Does anyone believe in speaking in tongues around here? Some of you do it secret. You do it a bit secret, but you know you love it. You get pumped. You're like, oh, shut up. Some of you, it's been a long time. You're like that old lawnmower. You need to just pull the pull it in. Just one more time. And then back to being Pentecostal again, just like that. Third time's a charm, isn't that right, Mitchell? So, here we go. So, I said to him, let me pray for him. Let me pray for you. He's like, all right. We're in the car park in Boise, Idaho. There's only 3 cars in Boise, and 2 of them were there. So I said, Father, baptize him in the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Let the fire of God come on him. And he starts falling back. And I'm thinking, yeah, he can't fall down. You can only do that in church, you know. And so I'm trying to keep him up, because I thought, well, if he falls down and hurts himself, he's sponsored by Nike. I could get sued. I don't want to get sued. So I'm trying to hold him up. And then I thought, yeah, who cares? Let him go. He hits the ground in the middle of the car park. The next minute, this car full of gangsters comes around with hydraulic. They see me, they see him on the ground and a few others standing by. And I just look to them and say, as much as say, if you don't leave, I'll do the same thing to you. I mean, you've never seen a car squeal as quickly as possible. Everything goes quiet, and then I hear from the ground, cool. I'm like, I know that sound. That's the sound of Pentecost. That's the sound of somebody. Can I tell you, when you switch from being open to switching to go, you know what, I'm going to lay a hold of God and get something, there it is. There's the power of heaven that floods your heart and floods your life in a room like this. I don't know about you, and maybe you're going, why are you yelling so much? I don't know. We're South Australian. It's what we do. But can I tell you, if you would switch your, I heard an old preacher say, shift your dish to the All Things Are Possible network. That's a cheesy line, but I love it. Because some of us, we've got our dish shifted to all of our junk and our stuff. When we walk in here, there's a name that's above every name. And that name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the living King of glory, the one who was and is to come, the one who saves and heals and baptizes in the Holy Ghost and is coming again. All authority's been given in his name. We have power in that name. We need to shift our dish to the power of heaven. There's something supernatural about faith in the power of God. I don't even know what that means. You know, on December the 14th, 2013, a girl in our church by the name of India King decides to go and hang around in the city of Adelaide. And it was an unseasonably wet day. We don't get a wet December. It's a dry state. But it was pouring with rain. She decides to wag school or cut school with her boyfriend and goes into the city of Adelaide. And so she goes to cross the road. And as she crosses the road, there's a car coming. And her boyfriend grabs her by the school bag, pulls her off the road. Her feet slip from under her, and the car runs her over, front wheel and back wheel. She rolled about 30 feet and had her pelvis broken in 4 places, brain damage, the whole thing. And they said, she's going to die. So her grandmother gets my number through the church and says, Pastor Dave, you've got to go to the hospital. I get to the hospital, and I've been into ICU many times, but this is in the Children's Hospital in Adelaide. This girl was a total disaster. I mean, I looked at her and thought, there is no way this girl's going to live. And so I left the hospital. They wouldn't let me in to pray because they're working on her and doing what they do best. And so but then they said she's deteriorating. She's going to get worse. So we sent a text message around our whole church and got our... I mean, it's amazing. When stuff like that happens in church, it's amazing how quickly a church can get into agreement. And so hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of calls. And so we sent a text saying, Pastor Dave's going to go in at 7:30 and pray. Can we pray? On my way there, I get a phone call from an evangelist by the name of Rodney Howard Brown. I don't know if any of you remember him. He's a revivalist. He rings me up and he says, David, I don't know why. He says, but I feel to pray for you right now, wherever you're going. You need the fire of the Holy Ghost. He says, and I'll release it right now in the name of Jesus. When you're driving your car and an evangelist with the Holy Ghost gets on you, you got to really watch the road. You could start drink driving, you know? And so he starts prophesying. I walked in that hospital. Can I tell you, I didn't feel intimidated. I didn't feel nervous. All I could feel on me was a burning fire of the Holy Ghost, man. So, woohoo, man! Are you happy tonight? Does anyone believe in the power of heaven? And so I get into that ICU. Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. The only two spots I could lay my hands was her knee and her foot. So I thought, Lord, you didn't specify that it had to be a head or shoulder, so I'm going to go with a knee and a foot. So I put my left hand on her knee and my right hand on her foot, and I thought, you know, they're working on her, so I'll try and keep some decorum. So I prayed like a well-behaved preacher. But let me tell you, when people are facing the edge of their life, they don't need decorum. Dignity, listen to this, dignity is not a gift of the Spirit. He never said, I'll pour out my Spirit and you'll be dignified. I mean, the Spirit of God gets on you, you get radical. And so you get crazy. Try and tell that to the people in the book of Acts. They had fire on their head and they decided to go in the city of Jerusalem. They shook the city under the hand of God. That would have been a sight, eh? But I went to this hospital and I put my hand on her knee and her foot, and so I was praying, Pastor Chad, and I was trying to pray, a dignified prayer. So I'm like, in the name of Jesus, God, touch your knee, or touch your body, heal her. And I'm sort of under my breath, God, didn't want to rock the boat. But then the fire of God hit me in that ICU. The problem with the fire of the Holy Ghost is trying to hide the Holy Ghost is like trying to hide a kangaroo. I mean, if you have your neighbors come over and you think you'll just hide the kangaroo behind the couch, how many know he's gonna hop out, you know? And so I thought, all right, I felt the anointing of God. And I don't know what happened. I went from being a good conservative local church pastor to a crazy Pentecostal. I wasn't even Pentecostal anymore, I was Pentahostal. And so I prayed like this. I don't know why it came out of my mouth, Pastor Joel. I believe it was the Holy Ghost. I said, India, you will live and not die in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, it caused a bit of a distraction. The doctor and the nurse are looking at me. And I said, you be made whole by the power of God. And I couldn't help it anymore. It just felt like English was not going to get the job done. Are we allowed to talk about speaking in tongues on a Sunday night? And I don't know about you, but the baptism in the Holy Ghost, man, what a gift that God gave us. And so I thought we got to go for it. So I just started going, I mean, you should have seen the nurse and the doctor. They're looking at me like maybe I should get a hospital bed myself. Felt like saying to them, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. Don't make me come over there, nurse. 1 month later, she was walking around that hospital. 6 weeks later, she walked out of the hospital healed and whole by the power of God. Let me tell you, church, we've got to get an expectation for a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power in the name of Jesus. Aren't you glad living for Jesus isn't dead and boring and dry? Man, the very DNA of this place is miracles, man. You don't have to dig too hard to tap into something powerful in this house. It's a supernatural church full of supernatural people who serve a supernatural God. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit? When you believed. I'm going to tell you one more story, then I'm going to quit. Not in general, just till next Sunday. Take the week off. was preaching at a church in Pensacola, Florida, and I was invited to do a weekend of ministry on what they called the Generations Weekend, where they'd have a young speaker and an old speaker. I was still the young speaker. I was 30 at the time. And the old speaker was a lady called Sister Mary Jenkins, who's now gone to be with the Lord, but at the time she was 102. I reckon they covered the spectrum rather nicely. She was the adopted daughter and grew up in the home of a preacher by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. Oh, hello. And so her and I end up in the green room, which is like just a little room where the pastor can get ready to preach or whatever. And we're sitting there by ourselves and we're chatting. How do you make small talk with someone that's 102? I was like, how was the Spanish Inquisition? She's like, it was my favorite Inquisition. I said, thought so. So I said, but how do you make small talk? So I said to her, I'll ask her about what I know about Wigglesworth. Now, Wigglesworth, for those that don't know, in the turn of the century, he really brought revival to Australia. What we're walking in is definitely impacted by his ministry, but he raised the dead. And there's a story that's kind of like Pentecostal folklore, that he went to a funeral, got the body of the guy out of the coffin, threw him against the wall, raised him from the dead. As you do. So maybe if the keyboard player can come just to give this story some more credibility. So she and I are in the back room. So I asked her about the story. She had this thick accent, so you could hardly understand what she says. I said, is that story true? And she says, baby, that's an exaggeration. I said, an exaggeration? What do you mean? She said, he didn't throw nobody against no wall. He just pushed him against the wall. I said, was he raised from the dead? She said, yeah, baby. I said, how do you know? And she said, baby, I was there. So you know what I said? I said, lay hands on me right now. I mean, she was in a wheelchair. And there was me, so I just leaned over. She laid hands on me. The fire of God hit me, man. I hit the floor. I don't. Maybe some of you, when you were young Christians, you're like, yeah, I hit the floor. Now you're mature and you don't do it anymore. Can I say, there's nothing like a stop, drop, and roll every now and then in the house of God. Just. So she lays hands on me. It's just her and me in a small room. All I remember is I'm on the floor, couldn't get up, and the door opened. I don't know what the person thought they saw, but then the door just closed again. But she starts prophesying, but I didn't understand what she said. She said, you know, to this day, it's still the best prophetic word I've ever had. I was so inspired that I wrote it down in my journal. Drew a squiggly line and a picture of a butterfly. That's really the best I could get. You know, I hear those stories and go, that's all good. But we was worse in heaven, getting his reward. What do we get? The world's more crazy now than it was then. We need revival, man. But God's looking for some people with an expectation for a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power in our heart and in our life. And maybe just in the closing minutes of this meeting, I'm believing that God wants to do something. Can we stand for just a minute? Just for a minute and just raise our hands to God.